Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Everything that God is, everything God has, belongs to us. He has shared it all with us. He's not holding any of it back. I'm so glad he's not insecure. He's not insecure, but he calls us, praise God, to come up and sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus to rule and reign in life. And that's his purpose for us. You go back to the book of the beginnings, you know, the book of Genesis, where God created man in his image and in his likeness. He always wanted man to be like him. And he always wanted man to have authority, to have dominion over the works of his hands. He gave them dominion over the works of his hands. That was his will from the very beginning. And so now it's just, he's just ever working to restore us to that place that he has originally intended for us. Now, spiritually, he's already provided it and made it all happen for us. But now we've got to get our minds renewed with his word, for us to be able to see it so that by faith we can walk in it. We could just walk in this life that God originally intended us to have, which is a life of ruling and reigning in life. I mean, there isn't one person here that is not to be ruling and reigning in life. Some people say, well, I just want a simple life. I'm not looking for much, Pastor. I don't need all this. You know, I just want my bills paid, and I just want to live a happy little life over here in my little log cabin. But you'll never live a happy life in your log cabin when you're living so far below what you were created for. See, people that talk that way, they've just received, they've just conceded to a life that is a lot less than what God has prepared them for, what he's created them for in Christ Jesus. So we don't want to fall for that. You will not be satisfied living like that. That's a selfish little self-centered life, thinking that just a few little nice things in this world is going to keep you happy. No, that you're not going to be happy until you're overflowing with the life of God and his glories arrayed on your life. You will not be satisfied until you awaken his likeness, where you're walking like he walks and he's living his life through you. You won't be satisfied. And that's what's going to satisfy you. That new car is not going to satisfy you. The new house isn't going to satisfy you. Thank God for these things. God wants you to have nice things. But those aren't the things. It's in his likeness. Being in his likeness, that's where we will be satisfied. And that's when we'll be done and ready to leave this place. He said, with long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. It isn't just being delivered from stuff that satisfies us. It's us fulfilling the divine purpose for our life. That's what's going to satisfy us. And we won't be satisfied until we're doing that. But bless God, he'll keep us here and he'll deliver us and he'll protect us and he'll prosper us and he'll provide for us until we are satisfied, or until we awake in his likeness, till we're walking and talking like him, till we are yielded to him and he's having full expression through us. And his purpose and plan for our life is being accomplished through our life. And the very fact that he says that with long life I'll satisfy him tells you right there, that you can live long enough to the place where you are satisfied. And a satisfied life isn't a quantity of years. It is a quality of life. It's a quality of life. What kind of quality life are you living? We need to be living the God kind of life. The God kind of life, which is a sanctified life. A sanctified life. And we've been talking about being sanctified, living sanctified lives. And again, when people hear the word sanctification, when they hear words like holiness and consecration, and many times, you know, they immediately begin to think of of works, having to work and strive in the flesh to perfect themselves and to become a better, more godly person. But as we've been looking at, it isn't something that we do in and of ourselves, in the flesh. We do not sanctify ourselves. We don't sanctify ourselves. God, the Holy Spirit, He sanctifies us. What we do is yield and cooperate with Him. We believe and trust in Him. Now, if you don't know Him, you can't believe in Him. You can't trust in someone that you don't know. But thank God for His Word. Thank God for the Word of God. And through the Word of God, we can get to know Him. And as we get to know Him, man, faith comes. An ability to lean on Him, rely on Him, trust in Him comes. And then He is able to do His work through our life without us resisting Him or our will overriding Him. For most people, I mean, that's how they live their life, just overriding the Spirit of God, overriding their conscience, the place where the Spirit of God will speak to them, overriding their convictions. Again, the place where God speaks to them. The voice of your spirit is the voice of conviction. It's a conviction. And that's the Spirit of God. He will convict you in order to lead you and to guide you. But so many times, so many people just override those convictions and just run headstrong into the thing that they think they want to do and the thing they feel like they need to do. But we're learning to not override Him, but to yield to Him. Listen to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do His sanctifying work in our life. And again, that sanctifying work, that being sanctified, is being set apart unto God, set apart unto the purpose and plan of God for our life. And again, we just talked about what is His purpose, what is His plan. It's that you rule and reign with Him, that you live in His likeness. Not that you just get through life. Not that you just struggle through life. But you reign in life. You reign as kings in life. That's His will for you and I. He wants us set apart unto that. He wants to sanctify us so we're set apart unto Him. We're in Him. We're yielded to Him. He's in us. He's flowing through our life. He's establishing our thoughts. He's directing our steps. Set apart unto Him and set apart from the devil and all the works of darkness and everything that is a curse. God wants us sanctified, set apart from it. And in Christ we are. We are, and we're discovering this and learning to trust in this and believe in this so that when curses try to come, bondages try to come and attach themselves to our life, we look and say, oh no, I'm free from you. I'm free indeed from you. I'm healed of you. I've been delivered from you. Hallelujah. You know, for some, they say, well, it's allergy season. It's allergy season, you know. And I remember years back when I myself, my nose was running, my eyes were itching, and all these things are going on. And I'm outside praying, talking to the Lord early in the morning, walking with the Lord, praying. And actually, the night before, we had just started the church. My nephew was there. And He Olson, I look at him after service, and he swollen. It looked like somebody just punched his lights out. It looked like he was all bruised. He was just all swollen. His eyes were all swollen. I said, what happened to you? He looked at me. He was a little guy, probably 8 years old. He looked at me, and he said, Uncle Stephen, I'm allergic to pollen. I'm allergic to pollen. I said, well, no. Jesus healed us. And I said, we're going to take care of that right now. I laid hands on him, and I prayed concerning healing. I said, I thank you, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And so I thank you. My nephew here is healed in the name of Jesus. And after I said that, I just didn't feel a full release. I felt like it was, you know, when you say something that's real shallow? It just felt empty. And I said that, Because, you know, that's the thing you say, you know. And yet, it just, but I didn't know what else to say. So I said, well, praise God, you're healed. And even on the inside, I'm like, something doesn't seem right about that. Something doesn't seem right about that. But my mind was struggling with that. So anyway, he went on his way. Now the next day, I'm out walking and praying. And my nose is running, you know. No, I'm talking to the Lord. I'm just ignoring that. And thank you, Lord, I'm healed, you know. And as I'm praying to the Lord, all of a sudden, right in the middle of my prayer, I see my nephew's face, you know, all swollen and everything. And I remember him saying to me, Uncle Stephen, I'm allergic to pollen. So I figured, well, the Lord's just bringing him to my remembrance, you know, because it just came right. My mind was going one way, and then boom, here he comes to my memory, real strong. So I said, well, I said, Lord, thank you for him. I thank you that he's healed by the stripes of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, he's healed. That's it. And so I go along praying, and next thing you know, I'm praying a little bit longer, and all of a sudden, there he is, just interrupts my thoughts. He comes back to my remembrance real strong, and I hear him saying, Uncle Stephen, I'm allergic to pollen. So I thought, well, he must be really struggling today. And I said, Lord, thank you that he is healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you bore that, and you took the curse and all that. Walking along, happens again. It happened about 3 or 4 times. Finally, after about the 4th time, I stopped. I thought, now, what is this? Why does this keep coming? So then I stopped, and I listened to my heart. See, we were just talking about overriding the Holy Spirit, you know. I listened to my heart. I stopped. He got my attention. And then I got to thinking about it. Well, this isn't a sickness at all. This has nothing to do with being healed. Pollen is usurping authority over his body. And then I said out loud, we have dominion over pollen. Soon as I said that, my nose cleared up. I mean, it cleared right up. And I got the revelation. I realized I don't need to be praying for healing. This is a matter of just using our authority in the name of Jesus. How many people know Jesus isn't oppressed by pollen? Or grass, or any other kind of thing that blows around in the air. Why? Because he has dominion over these things. He walked with dominion over these things when he walked the earth. Well, guess what? He's created you in Christ Jesus in his image and in his likeness, and he's given you his name, and that by his name, you and I are to rule and reign. You and I are to rule and reign, even over pollen. How many of you know they have authority over the devil in the name of Jesus? Yeah, Mark 16 says, believers will cast out devils. It's one of the things believers will do in this dispensation of grace. We will cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Well, you go over there to Ephesians chapter 2, and the Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. How many sons of disobedience do we have? You don't have to raise your hand. We'll get it changed. The spirit. See, it's talking about the devil. He's called the prince of the power of the air. And he's taking stuff in the air and trying to oppress people's lives. Because that's what he does. He's an oppressor. I said the devil is the oppressor. Come on. He's the tempter. He's the one that tries to bring people into bondage. So he's trying to use pollen and these things to oppress. So I just realized right there, and then wait a second, I got dominion. In other words, I got absolute rule and authority in the name of Jesus over pollen. Soon as I just said the words, things cleared up. I went home, I called my brother, I told him what happened. He said, wow, as soon as you said that, my nose cleared up. Only believe. This isn't a struggle. This is done. Come on. King doesn't struggle. A king just says, take him out back. And they take him. He's gone. Right? Right? The soldiers come in. They grab. They put a hood over his head. They take him out back. Whoever the king wants out back. And people know the devil needs to get behind us. He needs to be taken out back. Huh? All you got to do is speak the word. You're a king in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have authority. We have absolute dominion. That's what man had in the beginning. Why shouldn't he have it today? If God created that way for man in the beginning, don't you think that's what he wants for you today? Yeah, and that's why Jesus came, to restore that dominion to you and I. Hallelujah. So they took that authority, praise God, they spoke it, and he cleared right up. My nephew, he just cleared right up. Now, you know, I understood that later on in time, he struggled with that. The thing would come and go, and that was something that he would struggle with over time. But thank God, if we keep our faith strong, you know, the enemy will always try to come back. But the Bible says resist the devil. Just resist him. Don't give in to him. And people know you don't owe the devil nothing. You don't owe him nothing. You don't owe him an apology. You don't owe him any of your time. You owe him nothing. Just resist him. Consider him whipped, defeated. Don't be impressed by him. He is under your feet. How many things under your feet that you walk over throughout the day are you impressed with? Huh? We should be impressed with nothing that's under our feet. Shouldn't be impressed with the devil. We're not impressed with him. So we're not sitting here struggling and striving, but he'll come. He'll come with his life. That's why it's so important to keep our faith built up. Just keep ourselves mindful of the truth, because the distractions come and try to pull our minds away from the truth. And things try to come to convince us to override the convictions of our heart. But we're learning not to do that. We're learning to stop, listen. You got to watch about preconceived ideas about stuff and just running into stuff. And well, I've done this 30 times. I know how it's done. Slow down. You still need to pray. You still need to seek the Lord. You still need to wait upon him. He's the one that leads us and guides us in life. He's the one that's doing the sanctifying work in our life. And even when it comes to resisting the devil, it's not like we're resisting him in our own strength. It's not like we're standing up going, devil, don't mess with me, devil, don't mess. Well, it's don't mess with Jesus. Don't. You don't want to mess with me. You don't want to touch this, because you're touching me, you're poking God in the eye. Because the Bible says he who touches you touches the pupil of his eye. I don't think it's a good idea for the devil to poke God in the eye, do you? I just don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that should be very popular among demons. And you have to remind them, now you touch me, you're touching him. See? Because it isn't about me. Devil's always trying to get the attention on you. He's always trying to make man self-conscious, self-absorbed, into himself, looking to himself. Looking to himself as the provider, as the deliverer. He wants to make us self-conscious, but we've got to keep ourselves God-conscious. Keep our attention on him. No, this is God. God's working in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Pollen's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. And we resist. We resist the devil being what? Submitted to God. Submitted to God. That's what the Bible says over in the book of James. Why don't we go there? James. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Now, what does that mean to submit? That means to yield your will to another. To yield your wants and desires over to it, to prefer another over yourself. See, it's something you have to do. It's something you and I don't even like to say have to do. It's something you and I get to do when it comes to God. But the point is, God's not going to force anything on us. Submission isn't God coming in there and making us do something. He doesn't work that way. God doesn't work as a tyrant. Again, he's not trying to control our lives. He's looking to put us in control. He's looking us to give us the controls. He's looking to give us the authority and the dominion in life by getting us over to a place where we are yielded to him, where we're submitted to him. So we're submitting to him. He isn't forcing anything on us. So it says, therefore, submit to God. Yield yourselves to God. Surrender your will to his will. And what? Resist the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, it's submitting to God that puts you in a position where you could resist the devil. Where you can resist evil. Where you can resist ungodliness. Where you can resist temptation. See, again, we're talking about sanctification. We're talking about living the God kind of life, which is a holy life, a consecrated life, a life set apart unto God, unto his purpose, unto his plan. It's living according to his will and not our own will according to the flesh. So we submit to him, and as we do that, now we're in a position to resist the devil. We're in a position to rule over the devil. We're in a position to rule over temptation, over bondage, over ungodliness, because we're submitted to God. And when you're submitted to him, now all of God is with you, in you, and ready to work through you. Isn't that powerful? Submit to God. And now you're in a position to resist the devil. So it's not something that we're trying to do in the flesh. You can't resist the devil in the flesh very well. Are you hearing me? You can't do it very well. That's why the world, apart from God, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, are slaves to sin. Slave to temptations. Slave to bondages. Slaves to ungodliness, things that aren't right. They're slaves to it. They can't help themselves. There's people, they want to do right. They want to do right so bad they want to do right. But they can't. They can only go so far. And just about the time they get one thing right, they go wrong in another area. Why? Because they're sinners by nature. They're slaves of sin. Why? Because they're not submitted to God. They don't have adequate power. They don't have adequate resources to deal with the situation. But when you're submitted to God, it's a completely different situation. And remember this, it's not what you know about God. It's you yielding to God. Because a lot of times, people have a lot of Bible knowledge about God. And they've seen God move in their life in some extraordinary ways. They've yielded to him. They've seen great things. But yet, that is nothing if you're not yielded to him right now. You got to yield to him now. You yield to, you know, like I say, got to. You get to yield to him now. Yield to him now. Yield to him now. We want to be yielded to him constantly. So it isn't about what we know. It's about what are we going to yield to? What are we going to yield to? What are you going to yield to today? What are you going to yield to? I'm going to yield to him. The word is showing to me what are God's thoughts and what are contrary to God. When I have things come at my mind that are contrary to God, we're not going there. In God, I resist that. In God, I cast that down with a higher thought. I lift up a higher thought. I lift up the word of God. I lift up the name of Jesus. Again, we see Jesus do this himself, right? When he became a man, he showed us how it's done. Devil comes, tempts him, says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. What does he say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every, it is written. He quotes from Deuteronomy, quotes from the Bible, God's word. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus spoke the word. He cast down the thoughts and imaginations of the devil with a higher thought, with God's thought, with his word. That's what you and I are to do. Everything we are to do now is by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And I'm telling you, one look from the Holy Spirit is enough. One word anointed with the Holy Spirit. One word by faith in the Holy Spirit is enough to cause dominion, to cause power to flee, cause devils to go. Come on. I've had situations. I mean, one situation when I was, you know, I just moved out to Oklahoma and I was working as a waiter at TGI Fridays. And I just learned the job. I was just learning how to do the waitering thing there. And it was a little complicated understanding the register and stuff. And I was getting a little overwhelmed. And now it was Friday night. They put me on my first night. It was a Friday night. The place is packed and I'm going solo. I don't have anybody helping me. And there's been this guy there since the day I started working there that doesn't like me. And that Friday night, he walked up to me, and he'd been working there a long time and had it in with the manager and, you know, of the store. So I, you know, he was almost like a manager to me, you know. He seemed to have superiority over me, you know. And he walked up to me, and I'm, you know, I'm in what they call the weeds, you know. I mean, I'm trying to pull the dishes together. I'm trying to, you know, keep up with everything. And he walks up to me, and he goes, "I don't know what it is about you, but I don't like you, and I'm going to get you fired." I was like, oh, great. So I'm trying to keep my head screwed on straight, you know. I'm trying to work through this place. And, of course, he's just doing this little harassing throughout the night, harassing me. I'm already overwhelmed. He's really pushing my buttons, you know. Finally, I come around the corner, go in the kitchen to pick up the food and put it on my tray. And he's standing there right by the entrance talking to somebody else. And he just keeps messing with me. And I said, "Now, Lord, I said, if you don't do something about this right now, I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. You know, I'm going to quit, I'm going to get out, I'm going to do something, whatever." I said, I can't keep doing this. And the Spirit of God on the inside of me rose up, and he said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in him. Stare at him." And that was not my own thought. I wasn't thinking that way at all. But those words came to me very strong. It was his thought. And I knew it was God's thought. And so I put the stuff on my tray. I went around that corner. And there he was, you know. And he said something. I think he said, "Watch this." And, you know, he elbowed the guy next to him. And then he said something to me. When he did, I stopped, turned around, and I just looked at him. I didn't try to intimidate him or do anything in the flesh. I just looked at him in faith, knowing that God, the Holy Spirit, was going to look through my eyes and look into his eyes where that demon is that's harassing me. Because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. And I just stopped, looked at him. We stared. He had big eyes. He wore his suspenders and his cowboy hat. He had big bulging eyes. And he looked at me. And I just looked at him. We stopped right in the middle of the restaurant. Just stopped. We looked at each other. Just did what God put in my heart to do. And he looked at me, and all of a sudden he went, just like that. And I could see the guy just got delivered. I could see it. I mean, I could see it. I turned around the corner, glory to God. I went around, served the table. He never bothered me again. Now, if I just did that in the flesh, who knows what would have happened. But nothing happened. He completely changed. He never bothered me again. At the end of the night, he looked at me and said, "You know, I don't know what it was about you I didn't like." He said, "You're not so bad after all." And he starts asking me about the Bible school I'm going to. I was like, glory be to God. I mean, it completely changed. How did that happen? I just looked at him. Submitted to God. Yielded to God. And what happened? He sanctified me from that situation. He set me apart from that evil situation. He delivered me out of that situation, man, and he ended up delivering that guy. I don't know if he ever stayed delivered, but he stayed delivered for the remainder of my time that I was there working. Don't know where he is today, but praise God. One look from God in you. That's who's in us. That's what we carry. We are carriers of the life of God. So we're not struggling and striving to accomplish things in our own strength. We're not trying to be godlier. We are godly in Christ Jesus. Now what we're doing is renewing our minds to believing and walk in that reality. To just believe and walk in that reality. Believe that he's in you working and walk in that reality. Notice this over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So notice that. He's telling us how not to live a fleshly life, how to be in bondage to the things of the flesh. Then he names the works of the flesh in verse 19. He said, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. And if you know adultery, that could just be something of the heart too. Remember Jesus said that? Jesus said, you know, you've heard it said, you know, do not commit adultery. But I say to you that if a man looks on a woman to lust for her, he's already committed adultery in his heart with her. Right? That's a work of the flesh. That's a work of the devil. He says, now this is the works of the flesh. It's evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Some people just have a problem with hatred. Contentions, always argumentative. Jealousies, always got a problem with somebody else. Looking down, judging other people, condemning other people. I mean, just addicted to it. Can't stop themselves, can't help themselves. Outbursts of wrath. They got a bad temper, angry all the time. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. Again, Jesus said, you heard it said, you know, you shall not murder. But I say to you that if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. That's what he said. So again, these are all works of the flesh. And some of these things are going on inside people all the time. They got terrible things. Somebody says, I just love that show, Murder, She Wrote. Of course, they probably don't even play that one anymore, but there's plenty of good ones out there now. Unclean minds. No, criminal minds. Criminal minds. People just love criminal minds. You love murder. You're a murderer at heart. Just let that soak in a little bit. You're a murderer at heart. Why would you like something? Why would you love crime and murder? And I know. I love how quiet it gets when we do that. I just enjoy that. It's like very peaceful. It gets very quiet when you hit these things. Murderers, drunkenness, drunks, alcohol, drugs, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this is a very serious thing. These people are in bondage, aren't they, to these works of the flesh. What's the answer to it all? Come back to verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and what? You shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You won't fulfill those things. You will not walk in those things if you walk in the Spirit. So in other words, what our focus is the Spirit. Being mindful of the Holy Spirit. Be mindful of God in us. Be mindful of the greater one in you. Being mindful of who you are in Christ Jesus. And as you're mindful of that and you're filled with that, that's what you're going to walk in. And if you'll walk in that, you will not walk in these other things. So in other words, we're not over here trying to not do these things. Pastor, I'm trying not to walk in the flesh. I'm trying not to do this anymore. I'm trying not to do this anymore. But it keeps pulling me back in. It keeps pulling me back in. Well, stop trying to not do these things and just focus in on Him and who He is in you and who you are in Him. More than a conqueror, saved, healed, already delivered from the powers of darkness. Come on. One look from you and devils scatter. Come on. One word from you and the creation backs off. Are you hearing me? That's who you are in Him. And everything He is in you. Man, you focus on stuff like that. That's what you focus on. And what's going to happen? You're going to find, and you recite these things, and you talk of these things, and you sing about these things. Sing to one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart concerning these things. And what's going to happen? You're going to continuously be filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to become so full of Him, so full of Him, so weighty with Him, that you will not gratify, you will not seek to gratify the flesh. You're overwhelming to the flesh according to the Spirit, according to who you are in Christ Jesus. Let's focus in on who we are according to the Spirit. What's going to happen if we do it? Faith is going to come. Believing's going to come. What's that going to do? That's going to unleash the new creation. That's going to unleash the life of God that is in us in Christ Jesus. When you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you received the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you. That's who you are now. A new creation filled with God. Walk in that reality. Think on that. Meditate on it. Keep that thing on your mind. And what's going to happen? You're not, these things, the things of this world are going to grow strangely dim. They are. They're going to lose their power. They're going to lose their power. I just tweeted it this past week. Something I said Wednesday night. The glamour and glitz of the world cannot compare to the glory of God. Whatever the devil, whatever kind of shiny object he's shining in front of you, whatever kind of glamoury, glitzy thing he's trying to attract you to, trying to draw you away from God with, it cannot compare to the glory of God. Cannot compare to the glory of God. And the first place we behold the glory of God is right here. We behold, as in a mirror, the glory of God. Hallelujah. And as we look at it, we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We start believing this thing. We'll start living this thing. We'll start walking this thing out in our life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me if you believe that this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.